You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome to this is the absolute third edition, the third episode, if you will, of this new program, A Biblical Response. I'm David Frankuer, your kind of your host, your primary host and a moderator. And with me in the studio are three wonderful Christian people who have devoted their lives to serving the Lord. And that devotion has brought them here into this small soundproofed room where we're going to share some things from the heart of God today. Ann Lumhoko,
good morning.
To see you. Good morning. Keith Masters.
Good morning.
Yeah, bring that mic. And Stephanie Jacobson, welcome.
Good morning and welcome to you as well, David.
Hey, that's always a pleasure. This is a wonderful thing that we're doing together. I know I'm just getting excited about it.
Yeah.
I wanted to do this for the longest time. God had put it on my heart, and Jonathan, the manager, and it was just God's timing that birthed this. Mm-hmm. December 3rd was the first program. We're going to look at some things. Well, not everything. We don't cover all the news cycle stuff, but things that are in the news that are hot button issues that are where God's saying, "I want you to share from my word what I want my people to know about these events and how to craft their response." So I do want to tell you that if during the program you would like to call in, you're welcome to do that. The number to do that is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And we have people out there that will be able to transfer your call into the studio. If you have a comment or a question based on what we're talking about, we would be delighted to entertain it. I'm going to turn this over to Ann right now, who's going to get a kick us off.
Yeah, good morning. It's such an honor and a pleasure to be here. And I believe that we're all here because this is a ministry mm-hmm. the Lord has given us, and we want to accomplish the work that He wants to do through the four of us. So I just want to tell our listeners that we are not a new show, so we are not here to tell you all the news happenings for the week or for the month. What we do is we pray, the four of us pray, and we ask the Lord, what hot button issue can we tackle for this week? And I believe the Lord made it very clear what we're going to tackle today, which is kind of going to be a heavy issue, but I believe it's one that we need to tackle and we need to talk about. So we're in the season of Christmas right now. So we wanted to focus on a topic that is timely for this season. And during this time of year, we see a lot of nativity scenes, right? Mm-hmm. We see them in front of people's homes. We see them also on public properties. Actually, I was last week walking in tradition when I saw, that's in Port St. Lucie where I live, and I saw a nativity scene. Mm-hmm. And I was just standing there and just like, wow, beautiful that they put this out there. But what we want to focus on today is a different holiday display that we're seeing across the United States, and it's not a holiday display that we want to see, in my opinion, and I think that most of our listeners will agree.
We concur, yes.
Last week, so there's a group called the Satanic Temple, and what they did last week was they put out what they dubbed their holiday nativity, quotes unquotes, outside the New Hampshire State House, and this is in Concord, Massachusetts. So this is public property as well. And what their holiday display featured was a robed Baphomet. So that is kind of a goat-headed figure that the Satanic Temple's website cites as a pagan idol associated with the Knights Templar. So this statue had yellow eyes, and it held a bouquet of lilacs, the state flower in one hand, and an apple on the other hand, a reference to Isaac Newton in the other. And it was joined by a flag and a tablet with the temple's seven fundamental tenets. And just 3 days later, they found that somebody vandalized this display, and then it was removed. But before its destruction, the Satanic Temple posted the unveiling on social media, proclaiming, "Hail Satan."
Mm-hmm.
Before removing a black cover, it was a black cover which unveiled the structure. So they took that off and they unveiled this ugly statue and said, "Hail Satan." And then before this statue was destroyed, the city of Concord, New Hampshire released a statement on social media explaining that the Satanic Temple received a permit to have its display join the nativity, as well as a Bill of Rights scene placed by the Freedom From Religious Foundation, and that is an atheist activist group. So just yesterday, the statue was reinstated by a group of anonymous artists, and they didn't want to release their identities for fear of their safety, but they were made up of local residents who represent a range of religious backgrounds, including Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, pagans, atheists, and others, according to the statement.
That's what they wrote down, that who's representing that. That's
exactly.
So we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
They were disturbed that the display had been destroyed and that the city's mayor, this is Concord, New Hampshire, the mayor of that city is Byron Champlin. He had criticized the city's decision to grant the permit allowing it. Mayor Champlin, who didn't condone the associated destruction, said he doesn't believe the display should have been permitted to be placed outside of the New Hampshire State House. And this is what he says in quotes. "My preference was to deny the permit and accept the risk of the threatened lawsuit," he said in front of his city council. And this is according to the Concord, New Hampshire Monitor. "I oppose the permit because I believe the request was not made in the interest of promoting religious equity, but in order to drive an anti-religious agenda. So we wanted to introduce this topic today to our listeners and in the studio. And this brings up very many interesting questions that we want to talk about. So should all religious displays, including those of atheists and Satanists, be permitted at holiday time when nativities are placed on public property? Are these groups protected under our Constitution's First Amendment to display their evil displays? And should the First Amendment apply to them, even if they are clearly mocking religion and mocking God? Okay. Some argue the display is an example of religious diversity, and if nativities are allowed, all forms of religious or lack of religious display should be allowed. So I wanted to bring this up to our studio, my co-hosts here, and also our producer and moderator, David. What do you think? And I also want to hear from our listeners.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is something that our listeners are aware of, but this has been happening. It's been coming to the forefront. This happened in Illinois, where I'm originally from, in 2022, Iowa in 2023, the capital there. And also this year, this is happening in Minnesota. So this is a movement that we see coming, and we need to inform our listeners. We don't want to give any attention to this evil, evil thing. We give all glory to God, but we believe we need to expose this evil. And I wanted to hear our thoughts. What are our thoughts on this?
The first thing that, you know, comes to mind, it was 3 days and the thing was destroyed.
Mm.
3 days.
Yeah.
And it was destroyed. Nobody knows who did it, right?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It was stepped on. It was completely stepped on. Three days and they're trying to investigate who did it. So that is God right there. I mean, destroyed. Yeah, it was destroyed. But it's not irony. It's 3 days from the death of the cross to the resurrection.
Very significant.
Yeah.
Theologically.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
And it was placed right by a nativity scene. So there was already, they had been given the right to, and had the permits and everything to put in a nativity scene on the steps. And it appeared then after that. So it's almost like, you know, God is there, and then what happens is the enemy comes behind mm-hmm. and tries to take what God has meant for good, mm-hmm. and he just takes it and twists it just a little bit. This is obviously not a little bit, this is a lot, but yep. In this particular case, it's very evident that I really liked what I can't remember exactly what he said, but mm-hmm. he said that, you know, it was not in
the interest
yes.
of promoting religious yes. equity, but in the order to drive an anti-religious yes. agenda.
Yeah. And so that says a lot right there, because the First Amendment is talking about the establishment of religion. So he's saying it's anti-religion. So, mm-hmm. you know, what is that there?
There's an interesting, and I am not a constitutional scholar, nor have I ever played
none of us are.
On TV.
No.
But we did, I will tell the listeners, we kicked this around. We meet on a WhatsApp visual call the yep. day before this program, and we spent over an hour just kind of exploring this and looking mm-hmm. at the Constitution mm-hmm. and what the framers of the Constitution intended,
right.
the amendments and the First Amendment especially, that's what's on the table, to mean and to protect. And so what much of our commentary during the program is going to come from the root of that discussion. And we have about 2.5 minutes before our first break, so if we start moving into this, which we are welcome to do, you know, we're going to be, and I think probably we're going to start with, since the First Amendment came up, you know, one question, and I'm learning stuff, by the way, in my later years, because I wasn't ever a constitutional scholar. I did study early on, as everybody did, at least in my generation,
right,
in civics. And about the founding of the nation and all that goes with that, and the building.
At least they talked about it. I don't know how much I learned.
Well, I didn't learn. I'll tell you that I need to go back over many of the things that talk about the Constitution and how it's put together and what it means. But what we began talking about yesterday is in fact the Satanic Temple's display protected speech.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, you if you're a constitutional scholar, you're welcome to call in and either affirm or refute what we're going to be saying about this. But what we did hit on John Adams,
yes,
his comment about the Constitution as a whole. Someone have
yeah. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So that carries a real profound meaning, and it holds importance, understanding that the foundation it was built and based out of the scriptures. If you go back and look, we can talk about this after the break too, but mm-hmm. Most of the Constitution's words were taken from the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
and not just from men speaking oratorily about it. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was taken from the scriptures. So, you know, they say, well, it's not based on Christianity. Well, I don't know how much more based on Christianity you can get except coming out of the scriptures. So,
I would say, just before we go to the break, that what we do know, those who have we've studied the founding of America, and we know God is behind it. It's God's plan. It's God's creation. We exist as a nation because God brought us forth. And if you study any, even a smattering of the documents from those days, and the framers of the Constitution, those assigned the Declaration of Independence, and all those people that were part of our separation from England, you can see consistently the hand of God in that. Now, so what I would say, this is me now speaking, David Francoeur, I would say, yes, those, and keep in mind, those men that were the framers of the Constitution, that were our founding fathers, if you will, were Christian. Now, some people would like to split hairs as far as their flavor or character of their Christianity, but I'm just saying very basically, they were Christian men who were being led by the Spirit. But we must also realize that it is a Judeo-Christian foundation. And while there were no Jewish men involved in this, we cannot exclude, you know, the understanding that our theology is Judeo-Christian in its foundational makeup.
Yeah, yes. And a little backdrop to that, David. There's an article here. It says on April 18th, 1775, a British soldier ordered him, John Adams, and John Hancock, and others to disperse in the name of George, the sovereign king of England. Adams responded to him, We recognize no sovereign but God, and no king but Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
So this was in 1789, and he's recognizing Jesus as the sovereign king.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amen. And when we're talking about the Bible and the Declaration of Independence being backed up with the Word of God, this is exactly where their heart lied.
Yes.
And this right. and this exactly. right this is exactly where their heart lied, and they went on the principles of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's take a break and we'll be back.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Welcome back to A Biblical Response, and again, if you want to call in a comment or a question, the number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. Keith, pick up. You were on making a good point, and then you were quoting from, was it?
John Adams.
John Adams.
John Adams.
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, he was a framer of the Constitution.
Yes.
He helped write
right.
yes. so many much of that and the amendments there.
Right.
And his comment on the First Amendment was really on the Constitution itself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very foundational comment. So listen to what Keith has to say.
And John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Mm-hmm. So a moral and religious people. It's the morality and the satanic displays.
Mm-hmm.
The satanic displays are not moral, number one.
Mm-hmm.
It represents the devil, and that's not what the Constitution right. was for. You know, they were escaping tyranny from England,
mm-hmm.
and this is, what does Jesus represent? Jesus represents freedom.
Mm-hmm.
They were starting a new country, right? And God was giving them this land,
mm-hmm.
and it was all about the freedom
mm-hmm.
in this land, and that's why, that is where Jesus is, in the freedom of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it was an absolute miracle that our country was founded. Okay, an absolute
right.
miracle.
There's so right. many.
They
stories.
Were
yeah.
going. They right. were going up against England, New England, Great Britain, who had a powerful navy fleet. They had all these ships, and they won battle after battle. Not all battles, but if we read, and I would urge us, our listeners, to go to wallbuilders.com, and it's a beautiful website from David and Tim Barton,
mm-hmm.
and they talk about the religious beginnings of our country. Don't go to the New York Times that tries to sell you the 1716 Project or whatever, and they're trying to get our kids away from the actual founding of the country. And what David and Tim Barton do is they look at original items, the original like evidence,
documents,
mm-hmm. and it will tell you the moral context of our country. And our country was basically a miracle, and the Constitution was written with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. upon our founders.
Amen.
And they also say in Isaiah 33:22, it says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. It is he mm-hmm. who will save us." It was that verse that is said to be the source of the idea of the three branches of government. Did you guys know that? Mm-hmm. I thought that was good. I've heard that. You probably all heard it. But the Lord is our judge, lawgiver, and king. So our founding fathers went to the Lord to draft our Constitution. Mm-hmm. It's so evident, and we see society today trying to lie and say, no, God is not in the Constitution, but do your research and go to the right sources.
Well, that was a separation. That was when they first came out with separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. That was misrepresented, and they took that a little too far. God is omnipresent, so you can't separate anything from God.
Mm-hmm. Right? It was mainly for the government to stay out of the church.
Out of the church. And
what it meant to be separation of church and
right.
state.
And now they're telling the church to stay out of the state.
But that's demonic.
That's
not God.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that's what that's what we hear. Like we're afraid because of separation of church and state, but because it was a letter to the Danbury Baptists where they were warning that they did not want the government to intrude in their religion. So now they're twisting it. They're twisting it and saying, we cannot talk about this in church. Really? Where do all our beliefs come from based on the Bible? Our political beliefs, whatever beliefs. You cannot separate that.
You can't stop. Okay, so all of our laws are based scripturally. Mm-hmm. I can't go out here to a stop sign and not see a law. I mean, the law is, if I stop, it's a good thing, right? Because that's the law. There's a stop sign there. If I go through that stop sign without stopping, there's going to be consequences.
Chaos.
And so God is not a God of chaos.
No.
He's not a God of chaos.
No.
And it's also, we forget too that it's talking about morality and morals. So this country was born with a self-governance. So the Constitution was meant for self-governing people. So if I'm self-governing myself, mm-hmm. then and you're self-governing yourself, there's no need for a law, right? Mm. And nowadays, I mean, you intrude on someone's property or you intrude on someone's, then there has to be a law set.
Well,
and so,
what did Jesus say the greatest second commandment was, right? Love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
So you're not going to do harm to yourself. You're going to love your neighbor as yourself.
And there we go back to the Bible again.
And, right.
It's a self-governing thing.
And it's written in our hearts, right?
What you brought up is very true. And it's integral into the understanding of all the founding documents is that that we are to be a self-governing people, mm-hmm. which means we do need a government, obviously, and God is government. Mm-hmm. And when you get that scriptural too. But most of the people listening to this broadcast today are of an age where, number one, you didn't get a lot of civics, if anything, in school to understand the foundings of America. Number two, you've lived under big government. If you're 30 or even 40 and under,
yeah.
You don't know anything else but government overreach. And it's just been tolerated. It's been accepted because it's happened incrementally over time. But the government's taken more and more ground, and we've lost more and more freedom.
And at what point does it become tyranny again?
Yes, at what point? And I think that point is approaching.
So the question is how do we fight this to get this
Would you talk about the Capitol?
Capitol, thank you. Yeah. Couldn't spit
mm-hmm.
it out.
How do we address that the satanic displays
to
in
remove
public.
Them, to get them removed through the Constitution?
So the Constitution is truly biblically based, and so they really don't have...
It's not moral.
They really don't have a right to have it there. Unfortunately, we have not
challenge.
It has been twisted, like Ann was saying, things have been twisted to include, so freedom,
yeah,
it comes from God and God, yeah, alone.
Yes, true, right. Liberty comes from
it
the Lord.
It truly comes, yes, from God alone.
Right.
So enacting our beliefs on someone else here in the United States is not constitutional. So that's where they get the fact that they think that they can put this on the Capitol steps and display it there.
Oh, I think we have a call.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Sorry, this is a little, we need a little in studio stuff. If that phone rings,
yeah,
then it's a call coming in.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay,
it's okay. So it's one of those things that we are struggling with today because we don't know what the founding fathers, we don't know what the history is. And I'm speaking personally here. I mean, I have a brother that goes all really well with, I talk to him all the time about this stuff and he explains it to me so well, but then I go and I forget what he said. So I've got to go back and redo. But today when we were getting ready for this, or this weekend when we were getting ready for this, brought up some of the founding fathers' writings, and Samuel Adams, who was age 28 when he wrote this, he said the sum of all is, if we would most truly enjoy this gift of heaven, let us become a virtuous people. I mean, is there any other way to do this? I mean, literally, if you're going to have a content life, there is virtue, is something we need to seek after, and we seek after that by being a follower of Christ.
Amen. And in that sense, and we're talking about this program bringing the biblical lens through which we're looking at these events, and this one particular event is the public display of Satanism, really.
Right.
And
which who God specifically names,
right,
as in the Bible, right? So yeah, it's against Satan,
and we know from the Bible, even a cursory study of the Bible shows us that Satan is an enemy of God.
Amen.
And because of that, he's an enemy of God's people. So that's a foundational theological statement that I will take to the bank when it comes to, should we as a culture allow these sorts of things to be displayed, but the people who are giving these permits are not following the same process that we're going through.
Yeah,
but that's how, from a biblical lens, that's how we would see this. In the same way as any activity that seeks to either encourage people to sin. Or, I think that was what based the bottom, encourages people to be immoral. And
well, what is in the book of Job, right? When Job is walking with the angels and he comes before the Lord. And what does he say? God says to him in Job chapter 1, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." From roaming throughout the earth and going back and forth on it. And I don't think that people really understand the consequences of, you know, looking to put up these satanic objects. I don't think they understand the consequences. They don't believe God. They don't believe that God exists. And but yet they're doing stuff against the will of God. So, God, here's the other thing. God in his loving mercy is patient, right? He's patient, and he's waiting for them to come to know the understanding of God.
Right.
The beginning of wisdom is knowledge and understanding.
Yeah, I wanted to say, I did research, I think that we all did here in the studio, about the Satanic Temple. And you know how Satan is disguised as an angel of light.
Right.
Right? So they try to, on their website, this is what they say. Their mission is to encourage benevolence and empathy, reject tyrannical authority, and advocate practical common sense. Okay, so those are some of those tenets. But on the same page, they are petitioning the state of Texas right now to allow their members the ability to continue receiving voluntary abortions as part of a religious ritual. This is evil. And they're trying to sell themselves as good. Okay?
That's
they're
what like, they did in
like,
Baal.
We're not, yes, Baal, yes. Yeah. They're not the Church of Satan. They try to say, we are not the same Church of Satan that was, what, in the 60s or whatever? But they are evil.
So they're asking the state of Texas.
Yes.
To give them...
To continue, that their members can continue receiving voluntary abortions, and they consider the abortions as part of a religious ritual. Because child sacrifice.
Texas is... Mm. Is abortion free?
Yeah.
So they are asking that they have an exempt from that law.
Yes. Yes.
Let's come back to that. Let's take a little break.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Well, here we go. We are back. Gosh, it's hard to believe that half an hour is already gone. And wow. We're back. If you're just tuning in, I'm going to ask Anne to synthesize what she got us started on. Okay? and we're dealing with stuff. See it in the news. And we're wanting to look at these hot button issues through the lens of the Bible. What does the Word of God say? We've been talking also about the Constitution and God's intentions in that document. And so, Anne, for those just tuning in, give them a thumbnail sketch of what we've been talking about.
So we believe that the Holy Spirit wanted us to talk about today, which is very timely because we are in this Christmas season, which I think is the best season of the year, and we see a lot of nativity scenes where, you know, we have baby Jesus and, you know, Joseph and Mary. But then beside that beautiful nativity scene, there is a display, and this is in Concord, New Hampshire. The state house capital of New Hampshire was a satanic display, and it was a Baphomet. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right, but that's basically a goated head, and it's evil. It's a goat-headed figure that the Satanic Temple's website cites as a pagan idol. And that was displayed, but then 3 days later was destroyed. So here's a question that we want to tell and ask our listeners. Does the First Amendment protect them to have that display? Should that display be allowed on public property under the guise of religious expression, freedom of speech? Mm. And that's what we're talking about today.
I'm sorry, David. No. We brought up, Stephanie was bringing up how the Constitution was written through the Word of God and everything coming from the Bible. And we just had somebody just share with us, and we thank you very much for the call, caller. I wish you could have stayed with us. But in Romans 13, chapter 1, Romans 13, verse 1, says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established."
Yeah, and that's what our caller was referring
right,
to.
Exactly. Was, right, exactly. And praise God.
But I want to pick up on the rest of that. That's,
right.
about that's verse 1.
Right.
And then, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority?
That's pretty.
Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain.
Mm-hmm.
For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Now, all of this presupposes that godly people are in a godly culture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is in the Bible. The Bible, as a whole, Old and New Testament,
mm-hmm.
is oriented
mm-hmm.
to either to creating godly culture
mm-hmm.
and sustaining it,
mm-hmm.
and so. And I love this because it kind of factors back to earlier we talked about the intentions of, as John Adams was talking about, in particular, the Constitution and its nature.
Right.
For godly people.
Yep, moral and religious people.
Moral and religious people. And
part of that first verse, it still says, is the authorities that exist have been established by God.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm.
The authorities that exist have been established by God, and that is from the Constitution. Those authorities that existed during that time have been established by God, and as they recognized, we serve no sovereign other than King Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to put in there, too, that they said moral and religious. So moral, there are moral people who don't follow God.
Right.
And that goes back to the self-governance thing. You don't have to be a satanic follower to be moral. I mean, to display moral, that didn't come out quite right.
To display morality.
Right, but the morality, you don't have to be like a Christ follower. I guess I went there the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
To display moral.
Morality.
Right.
Yep.
So they understood that not everyone was going to follow Christ.
Right.
So separating those two out, moral and religious, okay, they didn't, we know that it's only Christ that gives us that eternity, that eternal morality. But the self-governance then comes in. If I'm not harming someone else, I mean, they were brilliant.
There you go. Oh, there's a call.
We've got another call. Let me just take this.
Let's do it.
Just hit that. There you go. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. My name's Anne Marie. I'm from the New England area, and I have a lot of family up in there, and I have a nephew, actually, that lives in New Hampshire. And I'm really surprised to hear that it was outside of the state capital of New Hampshire, of all places, that this display was made. But I think what I just wanted to ask a question and also make a comment is, do you believe that this is not evidence of the fact of that the spirit that has been being existent in our society to be defiant against God in any way, that there could be like a real spiritual principality that may take part in these people doing these kind of things for the opposition of the kingdom of God?
Absolutely.
Ma'am. Definitely.
There's a real evidence that, they're being defiant, and to just say, hail Satan of all things. Just what really surprises me is that there's just this animosity and hatred that seems to be growing against Christianity, and I've undergone persecution myself personally as a believer. But
stand strong.
Thank you for having this show, Pastor David, and all of you that are participating, because I think the Christians have got to speak up. I think they need to not shut their mouths and say, I'm just going to stay within the four walls of the church.
Amen.
Yes. I think it's time to speak in the public square, as we know our founding fathers did. And God bless you for having this program.
Amen.
Thank you, Emery. And I think we ought to really reinforce the fact that it's Jews and Christians that are under attack. This anti-Semitism exploding all over our land. We are called, and as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are called to support the Jewish people, to support Israel, and we stand firm. I know the radio station, That's one of the proclamations we make, is we are firmly in favor of standing with Israel, and they are the people of God. You know, we believe what Paul said, that we've been grafted into Israel. We are, as Paul said, the new Israel.
Yeah.
But we also then know that the devil hates people who love God. And when the devil's hate is being manifested always in human history, how far back you can go, you can see it.
Yeah,
and so the same today.
I just wanted to say that you asked if this is evidence of a spiritual entity. Definitely, because this whole battle is a spiritual battle that we are seeing unfold. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So actually, absolutely, this is a spiritual battle, and it's evil. And that's why we believe we are on here today to combat that evil. No. Thank you so much for calling,
Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Yeah, God bless you, and I just want to say thank you to you all, and especially to Pastor David, because my husband is Jewish and watches everything and actually has family that lives in Israel, so it's very real for us.
Amen, I know it would be. And listen, give my brother David a hug, will you?
I will, Pastor David. Love you all.
Love you too, Amber. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
The longtime supporter of the station and someone I've known for years.
Amen.
Even before I came to work here, strong believer in the Lord, and thank you for the calling and lifting those points up, Anne Marie.
And I like that she didn't know, so she was able to find out through this program what's being done, because we're out there to bring exposure to what's happening in the world. You know,
that's right. And you know, while we're on that topic, just to say we are who we are, long term followers of the Lord Jesus. Profound readers of the Word of God, and as we
I'm
come
still
on,
a baby.
You're still a baby. Okay, well, so am I. But
I'm still a baby.
But I want to also acknowledge the effort we've all made to stay in the grow in the faith and all, and yet you know from time to time you may hear something that you don't think is right or totally correct, and you got to let us know. We're happy to be corrected on the air. We'd like to hear your. A differing opinion or whatever, too.
Yeah, when I was mentioning the New York Times project earlier, which is trying to rewrite history, I think I said the wrong year. It's called the 1619 Project.
1619
so that's an example of mistakes that we can make on the air.
Because we're all human. God hasn't sent any
Somebody saying, that's why
people.
I can't find it.
Yeah, really? There you go.
So I apologize. But
that's why I can't find it.
But we're just seriously wanting to serve the Lord here, and he's given us this call and his anointing.
I would like to go to, we read from the 13th chapter of Romans. I want to go down, this is a very prominent scripture, but I just want to, I want to put this out there, because the people that are doing what they're doing with the satanic worship, a lot of them sometimes are just called, you know, they go and do this because someone else is doing it. They don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I just want to read the scripture over them as well. So, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law.
Amen.
And they may have done that in a peaceful protest on but what they don't understand is that they are doing it against a holy God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, amen.
And I think Stephanie, that's what we're looking at. They don't understand.
No. They're deceived. They're,
right.
Yes.
So I'm going to follow you up with something that the Lord put on my heart here.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 12, verse 4.
Mm.
It says, Jesus is speaking, and he says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more.
Mm.
But I will show you whom you should fear.
Mm.
Fear him who, after
That's
your
right.
body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell.
Yeah.
Yes, I tell you, fear him. This
right.
is from Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm.
This is from God Almighty, all right? Telling us to be afraid, okay? right? Mm-hmm. Telling us to be afraid of the mm-hmm. devil. And then what does Jesus say?
Do not be afraid of him.
Do not be afraid of him, mm-hmm. right? Come to Jesus, right? So do not fear. Isaiah 41:10.
Mm-hmm.
Do not fear, for I am with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do not fear, for I am with you. So do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you and I will strengthen you. I will uphold Amen. You with my righteous right hand. Mm-hmm. So where Jesus is telling you to be afraid of the evil and of Satan, who is real, he's telling you not to be afraid of him mm-hmm. and the love that Jesus brings into us.
Yeah, we need to stand. One thing that's coming into my mind is, are we fearing man?
Mm.
Over fearing God.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
Maybe we want to conquer that after the break,
because that'll be the last segment. So let's everybody hold that thought.
That's an awesome question.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hello, this is Luke Lewis.
I'm Tiffany Young, and we're with Treasure Coast Realty Group. Join us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for our show, Keeping It Real Estate.
We'll cover everything from getting you ready to purchase a home to sharing programs that help with closing costs and tips to sell your home hassle-free.
Plus, we'll dive into local market conditions, have special guests, and take your calls live on the air.
Don't miss this power-packed show to help you achieve your real estate goals. See you then.
Welcome back to the last less than 15 minutes of A Biblical Response. Hope you've been following along with us enough to at least know what we're covering today. I'm not going to ask Ann to recap it again, but pick up where we were before the break.
So I had asked the question to those in the studio and also those in the audience, you know, at homes, the fear, do we fear man over fearing God?
Mm-hmm.
So are we making decisions because we're scared of the ramifications of what man may do to us, but not thinking, what does the Lord think? So the perfect verse for this, I think that addresses this, says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. How do we overcome the fear of man? What does this verse say? Trust in the Lord.
Mm. So... another verse that I was thinking of when you said that was Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of God, of Christ.
Amen.
So that just kind of fills it out right there. I mean, tells you exactly.
It's a perfect verse, too.
And there is a sense, this thread now that you've established, that you've teased out of the fabric of our discussion, that ties right back to what we started talking about, and that was the Satanic Temple's display on public property, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that who are, you know, there is surrounding that, and I'm just going to say from my own perception, that a lot of that energy is from man, from people, to please other people.
Yeah, I think the mayor mentioned that he regretted, I don't know if he regretted, but he's the one who allowed for the permit, but he said he would have rather have, I think I can't exactly what he said, but he was talking of a dooming lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
I say you do what's right and then let the Lord, trust the Lord in what happens afterwards. If you get sued, you get sued, but the trust in the Lord in whatever consequences come in standing up for good and righteousness.
And there's going to be a block that's coming. I mean, we are going to have to stand. There, God says, I would rather you would be, what is it, black or white. Mm-hmm. If you are in the middle and gray, I spew you out of my mouth.
I'd rather be, hot or cold, not that lukewarm.
That's it, not lukewarm.
Because we need to be, that's lukewarm business is just, I'm covering my own you-know-what here.
Right.
That's it.
So,
and I'm not,
and that's hard.
Out.
That is hard.
It
especially
is hard.
If you feel like you're the only one standing in the moment. But how many, displays of that in the scripture that do we have that, look at David. He went out there with 5 smooth stones. Yep. He was the only one willing to go out there and sling that thing. But, he did it. He did it. And
But there was a passion. He had an underlying passion
for Christ,
to serve
for God.
Yeah,
for God.
Isn't there a cause? What is the cause? I mean, he was all hot for God, because he saw what was happening. And the Philistines, typical traditional enemies of Israel, still today enemies of Israel, that they were just taunting them.
And he had his eyes on God. And where are our eyes? I have a mentor in Kansas City. She's in her 90s now. And when I was going through some really, really hard times, she would say, Stephanie, where are your eyes? Where are they? And I still to this day, I think about where are my eyes? Are they looking, I call it navel gazing. Am I looking at myself and looking what I want, and what I think? Or am I going back to the Word of God and upholding what God says? And it doesn't always feel good.
Last week, and this has been on my heart now for about a week, where the Lord is showing me when they were in the boat and Jesus was asleep and the storm was there. Okay? So God is asleep in the boat and what's going on? God is asleep in the boat and what's going on?
He's
content, right, but what's going on with the disciples? You got to wake up. Please wake up. Wake up. We're going to, don't you care if we drowned, right? Isn't that what they said?
Mm-hmm.
And then what did Jesus do? He woke up and he said, oh, ye of little faith.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that the Lord has been saying to me. I'm right here. Don't be afraid, right? Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. God is in the boat. You're in the boat. And you're in the boat. We're in the boat. Yeah. God is with us.
Yeah.
So do
and
not be afraid.
And even if he asks us to come out of that boat.
Right.
If you keep your eyes on him.
As Peter did.
You will not sink.
Walking on water.
It is what.
Right?
Yeah.
Peter did.
He
walking
lost sight,
on the water.
Though, when he started
But it's also there for us to know, keep our eyes on Jesus, right? Because Jesus reached down, pulled him out of the water. And it's as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, and that's, but
and I don't think that water was real calm. I think there was some waves
a
that
lot
happened.
Going on in
those
water.
Those other guys in the boat were like, "Are you crazy?"
But those are two right. But those are two different stories where the Lord is using right. One place they're asleep, and the other one is where Jesus is walking on water at night, coming, and they're afraid both times.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid both times, but God is right there, right?
Yep.
So we have to come to that knowledge and that wisdom.
And we're in a storm right now.
Yeah.
Here in America, it's also in the West, pointing to where we live,
right?
That we're in a storm right now, and the boat we're in is rocking. And I love the fact that the church, one of the symbols of the church has been the boat, and the church is being rocked. But here's the deal. We got Jesus, right?
Amen.
He is, maybe we think he's sleeping in the back there on a cushion.
Right.
He is with us.
Yeah.
If it's okay to segue, there was a tragic shooting that happened in Madison, Wisconsin
at the Christian
yesterday.
School.
I know we
Abundant
had like
Life
Abundant
Christian
Life
School.
Christian School, and 3 people died. It was a teenage girl that took her own life after she committed these really brutal acts.
Yeah.
But we don't know what the motive is, but we have to pray, because it talks about, like you talked about, the storm. There's a storm happening in America.
Mm-hmm. This is reaching the youth. The youth is, they're taking on tremendous stress from just, it can be with the, it could be with their phones in their bedrooms or kids at school, or we don't know what this young lady was going through, but she definitely was feeling some
better
things.
Take the call.
We have
about almost out of time. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey. Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. Did you mention Psalm 118?
We did not.
No, we did not.
Why don't you cite that for us, brother?
Well, I want to make a comment. You know, the Bible is no accident. I'd like you to read Psalms 118:8, and then I'll make my comment.
All right.
Psalm 118:8.
It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans.
Very good.
Amen. Don't put your confidence in men. And what's interesting is the Bible is no accident. You know, the chapter before 118 is the smallest chapter, Psalms 117, and after 18,
yeah,
Psalms 118 is the longest book,
right,
in the Bible.
Yep.
And and Psalms 118:8, that's the heart of the Bible right there, that verse.
Yeah, I love
that's
that.
That's
so interesting when I heard that.
It's very foundational, isn't it? Very foundational statement. Ultimately, we depend on God.
Merry Christmas. Thank you
for
calling.
Merry Christmas. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for listening.
God bless you.
Amen.
Wow. Well, our time is almost up, but
I know
we're at that point now, which we have all agreed is a time for the call to action.
Yeah.
What are we going to leave our listeners with?
Well, can I, David, just something on my heart with the shooting that did happen yesterday. And this is not, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that don't know God, and they say, why did God let this happen? This is not from God. You know, Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
This is not from God.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I come to give life, and I come to give it abundantly.
Yes.
So just come to understand the separation here and who you're looking at and who to blame. And you know, if you're going to be blaming, it's not God that's to be blamed.
Yeah,
that's absolutely true. Yes.
Amen.
He's given us free will. You know, and let's face it, the downside of that is when human beings have free will, we sometimes choose not God's way but our way. And if we're particularly struggling with issues, maybe we have mental illness issues, our way is going to be broken. And it's going to be misinformed.
Yeah.
And we're going to choose the totally wrong thing. And it's sad that this person chose, and so many in the past. How many examples do we have?
Yeah, we have compassion.
But it's not, God did not make it happen.
No, this is
this is a totally generated from a very different location.
I know Stephanie's going to pray, because we have individuals
now
who died, and then six that are hospitalized, three in critical condition.
Father, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for bringing us together here safely. Lord, you say that you are God, and we should praise you, Father, and so we know that your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are God. We want to recognize that today, and in all of these situations, whether it be someone who is deceived or someone who's actually lost their life, Father, we thank you, then praise you that you know where they are. You see them, you know them, you know what their future will be. Father, we ask that you would show your mercy on this nation, Father,
yes,
today, as we are leaving this
program,
thank you. we are in this program. We just thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy today as we go out. And we're just thankful for each and every one that has listened today, and just bless their lives, Lord, as we bring them back next week to hear us, Lord, and so we can call and talk to them as well, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this WCNO as the word goes out today. And for the rest of the year, Lord, we thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just add to that, Lord, help us as a people be willing to be led by your Spirit to get back to the fundamental truths that guide our lives and should be guiding our lives, and formed and shaped the foundations of this nation. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you all for being at Keith and Ann and Stephanie.
Thank
God
you,
bless
David.
You.
It's a blessing.
What a great
to be
team.
Here.
We will be back next week.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore,
email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.